I hope I don't go over today because I knew it was going to be a difficult lesson to get through. So let's ask the Lord to be our teacher. Father, we come before you and we're grateful for all the things that Paul has given us. His word is so perfect and so true. And we need to hear from you, Lord. Deliver us from hearing from the world and hearing from family members and other people, Lord. May our focus of attention be on the Word of God. May it hit home. Lord, you're just as upset about us not being thankful and backbiters and whisperers and so on as any other sin that separates us from you. So, Lord, help us to do business with you today. May you speak to our hearts, and may we leave here encouraged and just that more resolve to live more like you. So teach us, Lord. We're here and waiting for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see, this is today's paper, and yes.
Yeah, it's got to go closer.
But God shows his anger from heaven against all sin. Wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. May I tell you that become a thankful person. It is amazing what it'll do for you. You'll stop worrying and you'll just give thanks back to God. It's a very exciting way to live, a very powerful way to live. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Don't forget, in Egypt, they worshiped the dung beetle. Oh, we call them a scarab today, and the people have rings out of them and wear them around their neck. But all they are dung beetles, and they make beetles, these beetles make dung into round balls and push them along, and the Egyptians must have thought, that looks like a god moving the earth. So it's amazing the things that we worship. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. As a result of the sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty that they deserve. It's interesting, in my Bible at the bottom of the page, it says that homosexuality is the penalty. Something to think about. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They were backbiters, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invented new ways of sinning, and they disobeyed their parents. They refused to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them also. Now, doesn't that sound like that came out of our newspaper? Isn't that where we are today? But that's from the Living Bible. And I just slipped it in the newspaper because it seems so. It seems so pertinent to where we're at. Well, Paul speaks of the wrath of God. And you say, wrath of God? Isn't that ahead? Isn't that future? Yes. But it's also necessary now because it tells us why we need the gospel. Yes, wrath of God demonstrates really God's love towards us because he's got to make a judgment on sin. And if he didn't, then we'd say he's not a very loving God. He's not a very caring God. But everyone suffers from the wrath of God. I know if you have a family member that's off, whether they're stealing from banks or hurting the family in some way, that it's hard. But we experience it, don't we? Everywhere present is manifested by the invisible resistance of God to the evil of man. That's the wrath of God. This tragic aspect of life is caused by the attitudes and the actions of men. Now, something I would really like you to go home with, if nothing else, is that first comes godlessness, not godliness, but godlessness, and then comes wickedness. And those are never reversed. Godlessness comes first. And then it's an attitude, and it produces all kinds of wicked actions. And all of us could probably share something out of our own lives that would demonstrate that. That is why the wrath of God is being revealed constantly from heaven against men. This is not atheism. Atheism is where a person says, no, there is no God. But this is where godlessness is acting as though God does not exist. I heard there was someone in England that told the people, go out and do whatever you want and don't even think twice about it because God is dead and there will be no repercussions. Doesn't take much for teenagers to try that, does it? So, as a result of godlessness, there is unrighteousness and wickedness, selfish and hurtful acts of men towards one another. Why do we hurt each other? Because we disregard God. I've thought about that this week. I thought, you know, if God were standing right here, it would be really hard for me to tell my husband a thing or two. So I thought, stop that. And it's a good idea to stop that. Because we just hurt each other. We suppress the truth, and the wrath of God burns within the human family. We don't always call him God, however. Have you ever heard someone say, well, that was Mother Nature, or that was fate, or karma, or destiny? We don't want to even use the word God because we're trying to cover it up. And but you've never heard anyone swear against any of those. No one ever says, damn karma. They don't. They only swear against God. And kind of sad, isn't it? We just don't want to have God in our affairs as bottom line. And you say, well, I don't understand. How can you possibly see God in creation? And I think that's an interesting thing because every time I go to Yosemite, I just sense the presence of God. It's so beautiful there and so majestic. And I always feel so itty-bitty small. And I've had the privilege of being there three times after the first snow. And it's like a fairyland. Everything glistens and sparkles. And you think, what an amazing God to make every snowflake different. And how about the miracle of birth? And one of our leaders has gone because she's got a new grandchild, grandbaby. And but isn't that amazing? You know, that two a sperm and an egg had come together and make the likes of us. It's amazing to me. And I've told you about the many times I've gone camping and our family goes down on the dam. There's a road there, and we all lay down on the dam. You say, well, that's really strange. It has to be after 9 o'clock because it has to be really dark. And our family's all looking up at the stars and the Milky Way. And you see satellites going over and you see airplanes going over. But there's something so majestic about the heavens. The heavens indeed declare the glory of God. And if that doesn't bring you to worship, I don't know. It's like this wristwatch. You'd say, well, somebody made that. Somebody put that together. And there's intelligent design behind that. But then when it comes to a heart, when you think about it, a heart beats a whole lifetime. This muscle, a whole lifetime. That just amazes me. Or your eye, how complex your eye is. And they said, well, you know, it just all kind of came together out of the slime or whatever it is that they're saying these days. Babies that grow and roses that smell, it's all by chance. Just start looking around, see how clever God is. Can you imagine the leaves falling in the fall where they change color? Well, what happened there? Well, just the chlorophyll stopped filling the leaves and they become red and yellow and, oh, they're beautiful. And they fall to the ground. But then we have resurrection next spring. And that's so exciting to see. It's men not only try to suppress everything about God, but now they've got a show on TV that says that space aliens came. And I was sitting here this morning laughing to myself, thinking about space aliens coming and giving the pyramids to ancient man. They see they have man coming out of the caves and not knowing anything. And then I thought to myself how how they show these space aliens coming with, you know, a mask on and a face mask and all. But you know what? Every time an angel comes and appears to someone, they're not wearing a face mask or an oxygen tank or anything else. And they forget that. Anyway, I every once in a while watch it because I say, oh no, I love to argue with the TV. And I just laugh at them and say, no, you got it all wrong. But anyway, it's good for information. But you know, God has promised us if we seek him with all of our hearts and diligently seek him, you'll find him. It's not that complicated. And he wants us to seek him. But today men suppress the truth. And they don't glorify God. They don't give him thanks. They don't want manger scenes. They don't want you wishing Merry Christmas to anyone. They don't want prayers in school. I imagine there'll be a day when they said, don't send Christmas cards. Oh, I don't know. But there's so many things that man suppresses. Their thinking becomes futile and their hearts become darkened. And that's right out of Jeremiah 13, 15 and following. It's God tells how our hearts become dark when we refuse to go his way. But you know, the government tries to step in and fix things. Have you ever noticed that? There's the New Deal, there's the Fair Deal, there's the New Society, there's the Great Recovery, and on it goes. Have you ever seen so much money in your life put into education, but the kids don't know anything? How can I say that? Because I see them interviewed on TV, and they don't even know who the vice president is. So it's a pretty sad day we live in, and I should bring my big book at home that goes way back to Dewey and before, of the deliberate dumbing down of America. We're there, and our hearts are darkened. And they try all these different recovery programs and on, and it's all futile. Brilliant words, glowing promises. I saw this lady in, I believe it was Chicago. She was put in charge of the educational system there and was given all this money that had been collected for the poor and for those that weren't getting a good education. And the only problem is that she took the money and went elsewhere. And they asked her about it, and she says, "Well, I'm sorry." So even the people that are supposed to be doing the right thing aren't doing the right thing. So really, all these planned programs are such a waste of time. But you say, I don't think people worship images. Well, you'd be surprised. There's all kinds of images, and it's all idolatry. In case you forgot those Ten Commandments that we studied a couple of years ago, where I gave you a test to write out the Ten Commandments. That was very interesting. But you need to know where they are in Scripture and know them. You know, they're not suggestions, they're commandments. And God gives us the ability to carry those out. Why you don't think they worship images? How about football heroes? How about dance stars? How about movie stars? And then there's so many men that worship power, right? Military power, and others that worship sex and money. And I put down comfort because that I have a tendency to go towards comfort. Others that worship beauty, and so fleeting, and youth, they don't know much. And adventures of life. But the big thing I've seen so much in the last 20 years is man worships himself. Yeah. I suppose none of you have husbands like that, but it is a thing in our country that man as a whole worships himself. And I think how easy it is to be insulting God. The one thing that really got to me in that list was reptiles. They went after reptiles? You know, how insulting to God. The same thing with the zodiac. Those are animals. You're worshiping that, you're following that. Don't even bring it into your home. The gift of God should draw man to God. He heals our hurts. All the pain, all the darkness, all the hardships that we grew up with, he heals us. Death, depression and despair, that you'd think man would want to escape those things and follow after God. Sinful man still clings to what is familiar to him, And that's to women, too. I mean that generically, that women like to hang on to their bad back, or the way they were brought up, or any other thing. That's why I'm so bad. No, I'm so bad because I'm a sinner. Have we made any progress in the last 21 centuries? You know, you have to think about this. Godlessness then into wickedness. When you lose God, when man loses God, they always lose themselves, and there's no wisdom. Have you noticed that with the Supreme Court? How to fix our society, they think. They make something legal that is unlawful. Very tragic. The first sign of wickedness in a civilization is sexual immorality. I think of, I can go right back in my own life and see it deteriorating, probably in the 60s. And by the 80s, when I was in college in San Francisco, that the bathhouses were so prevalent and AIDS was becoming just out of control, and they had to close those. And it so fits with this portion that Paul gave us here. It's always present, and it always has been present. So have we gotten any farther down the line in 21 centuries since Paul? No, homosexuality is the mark of a godless and wicked society. And new restraints, or there aren't any restraints, are removed. Homosexuality became accepted in society. The first century world in which Paul lived and wrote this section, homosexuality was a common practice. And men like Socrates and other Greek philosophers, they were homosexuals. Of the first 15 Roman empires, 14 of them were homosexuals. Once the restraints are removed, the rest becomes into public view. And it's truly awful thing about the rise of it today is that homosexuals are allowed to believe the lie that theirs is a biological condition which they cannot help, but to which we and they should adjust. Not true. It's a choice. Now, a lot of things feed into it. I don't deny that. But for God to take his hand off of them, to give them over to a reprobate mind, think how serious that is. Well, that's too bad about your God. My God doesn't give anybody up. Really? Then why did Jesus say from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what we need to look at. That's what we as believers need to look at. Forsaken of the Father. Why? Because he took on our sin on him. So if God the Father turns his back on his Son when he becomes sin, don't say that he doesn't turn his back or takes his hand off of those that have gone into the lifestyle of homosexuality. But I hope you didn't lose out on all those sins that you had to write down. You probably got really tired of it, didn't you? Because that all comes before we get where we are today. People have a desire to exploit others and get them in on their ship, too. I've thought birds of a feather love to stick together, and that's very true. I know of one fellow that tried to kill his father because he didn't like the way he was brought up. And he left high school totally into that lifestyle. And to this day, hates his father, and his father has disowned him. Not until he comes back and seeks forgiveness. Hard times. I know some of you are facing that. But a depraved mind destroys, tears, and fragments everything it touches. You know, if they don't have any wisdom, then they destroy what's ahead of them. From an old thing I had written in my Bible, I have, in 1982, there was 20 million Americans with herpes. And you can't get rid of that. And all the other sexual transmitted diseases. The interesting thing is, I'd hate to think how high that figure is today, but they do say that teenagers are doing less messing around than they used to. But I don't know. The things that I hear going on in schools are, it's hard to believe, just about. So God gives them over in their wickedness. It's like, you want it? Go for it. God has found a way to break through human weaknesses and arrogance and despair and sinfulness. And he so desires to give us peace and joy and gladness. And the Lord can be born in Bethlehem so long ago, but he can also be born in us and in your heart now. This is the good news of the gospel. Always turn around. I thought to myself, if I had a son or daughter that were involved in this lifestyle, what would I do? You love them. You love them. You don't preach at them. You don't tell them what they're doing is wrong, because they know. They've suppressed the truth. This young man that tried to kill his father, he was brought up in the church. He was knew all his verses, knew his Bible, and today hates his father. Sad times. But you love them, you pray for them. But the most important thing, all the time, is that we represent the Lord and that we're an example. You know, kids read you. You know, ask God to help you with that, to live each day, each moment, and that you can demonstrate your love towards them without embracing their sin. Tough job. But you know, like things like sex and food and having an affair and pornography, none of that satisfies. None of it. I remember, I think it was Jeffrey Dahmer. There's some real crazies out there that started with pornography, and then he ended up cutting up his victims and doing some other things. And girls weren't safe on the streets for a long time when he was out and about. And sex, wonderful. Wonderful in the marriage. And it's should be enjoyed, and but it's like food. It just you need more, or you're never satisfied. It's food can really get out of hand, and of course we don't talk about that. We're having an affair. Whoa, it was such a thrill. You know, my husband doesn't thrill me anymore, and I had an affair. Well, yes, you can call it an affair, but God calls it something else. And that's the thing that we lose out on. But just remember, they weren't meant to satisfy. I want to read you a little blurb here from a book I have that's falling apart. It's Ray Stedman's book, From Guilt to Glory. I appreciated this so much. When we worship, we are longing to be possessed of God and to possess him fully. That is why the highest description of the relationship possible to a believer is found in the words of Jesus in John 15. You in me, and I in you. When men think that they are going to find that fulfillment in sex, God in effect says to them, look, it won't work, but you won't believe that until you try it out. So he removes the restraints and allows immoral sexual practices to become widely accepted, understanding that men indulging in these things will finally find themselves just as dissatisfied, empty, and hopeless as they were when they started. Thus they will learn that God is trying to teach them that sex is not the way by which men find fulfillment. This is true even in marriage. Men find complete fulfillment only in a relationship to God. We're also often looking in the wrong place. But the Lord wants to fulfill you. And hang on to that fact. And be that wonderful example to that person that is living outside. They're not happy. One of the things today that should encourage us is that so many high schoolers aren't satisfied. They're looking, they're searching. And that's when we need to be on the ball and living a godly life before them. Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know you, that today would be the day that they turn their life over to you. Lord, deliver us from trying to find fulfillment or satisfaction in all those things that we think satisfy us, whether it's being unthankful or whether it's backbiting or gossiping or all these other things, or thinking that food is going to satisfy us. Lord, help us to come to grips with the fact the only person that can satisfy is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to be born again in us, that we might become his child. And if there's anyone that needs that today, that they might take that time alone with you and ask you to come into their life and cleanse it and make them your child. Lord, I can't think of anything more wonderful than knowing you. And take us, Lord, and work with us. Thank you, Lord, that we're just a step away from repentance at any time. Thank you that you love us deeply, that you won't let us get away with all these things that we think we can get away with. Oh, God, work in each of us. We need it, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.